Welcome, dear listeners, to Aligned Expressions. I am your host, Sherry Stein, and I'm thrilled to embark on this transformative journey with each and every one of you. As a seasoned color design psychologist, aromatherapy specialist, feng shui practitioner, therapeutic yoga teacher, and Ayurveda lifestyle enthusiast, I've dedicated my life to helping others achieve balance and well-being. Through my brand, SBW Aligned Expressions, I offer mentoring services to those seeking a holistic and wellness-centered approach to living their best lives. This podcast is an extension of that commitment, a space to delve into the profound intersections of color, yoga, Ayurveda, feng shui, and design psychology. In each episode, I had the privilege of sitting down with some incredible wellness professionals from diverse backgrounds and experiences. Together, we explore the powerful impact of color on our emotions, the healing properties of yoga and Ayurveda, and the ways in which design psychology can shape our environments for optimal well-being. I am not just here to inform, but to inspire. Aligned Expressions is a platform for meaningful conversations that illuminate the path to a more harmonious and balanced life. I invite you to join me on this enriching journey as we uncover the secrets to holistic living and well-being. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of the Aligned Expressions community. Together, let's explore the profound beauty and wisdom that emerges when we align our expressions with the essence of holistic well-being and welcoming to our journey into wellness. Welcome to another episode of Aligned Expressions. Today, we are thrilled to have a truly remarkable guest, Ana Fernandez Martinez, also known as Ana Moves. Ana is a multifaceted individual with a rich background that spans various disciplines. She is an author, dancer, and meditation teacher, acupuncturist, sound therapist, and a recent freediver. Ana brings a wealth of experience and wisdom to our podcast. She is the author of two books, The Book of Yin and The Tao of Yoga. These works delve into a profound teaching of the Tao. Ana invites us on a journey without expectations, guiding us to explore our own instruments, our beings. Her teachings are rooted in the ancient wisdom of the Tao, using the Tao Te Ching and the I Ching as foundational pillars. She emphasizes the Taoist principle of Wu Wei, the art of non-forcing, connecting us to our own virtue as the driving force behind our actions. Ana encourages self-discovery, teaching us to listen without judgment and recognize our inner selves as guides on an ever unknown path. We are truly honored to have this amazing spirit on our podcast, and we can't wait to dive into the wisdom she shares. I personally love her book, The Tao of Yoga, and I'm sure you will be excited as I am to explore the insights she brings to this conversation. Welcome, my listener. I am so excited to have Ana on. Ana, how are you?
I'm really well. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you. I am just so in love with this book.
Wow. And
I wanted to, as a fellow yogi, just say bravo, my dear. This is a great book, and I'm so excited to share it with my listeners.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Yeah. So tell me, who is Ana? Talk to me about yourself, how you came into yoga, how long you've been doing yoga. Just give my listener an idea about who you are.
So the funny thing with me is that I started doing yoga when I was about 3. So I was three, I think it was, around that. And I used to practice on my own in my room.
Mm-hmm.
I did that for years. And, you know, I would just like see things on telly and kind of like copy them. And my parents call it gymnastics because that was the thing that they could just like address it to. Continued doing that from my youth. And then when I was 20, that was my first yoga class, like a formal one.
Okay.
So, but it was so funny to kind of like encounter something that I had been doing on my own for so many years. Only that now I knew the names and things. It was really funny. So we're talking Spain back in the late 80s, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And so it wasn't like it is today. You know, we had just one yoga teacher in our town.
Mm-hmm.
She was Ashtangi. And what I first encountered was Ashtanga yoga, and I loved it with a friend. And then I just continued with that. I went to England. I lived there for 10 years and I studied with different people. And I continued with my practice and started teaching as well.
Wow. So where are you originally from? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in a little town called Oviedo in the north of Spain, in a coastal region, a mountainous region called Asturias.
Mm.
So that's where I grew up.
Oh, that sounds like a beautiful place. I've never been to Spain, and it is on my list of places to travel, you know?
It's amazing. Asturias is super pretty. It's really nice.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
Well, so you're also an acupuncturist and
yes.
a sound therapist. And
yes.
Tell me a little bit about the work that you do as a yoga teacher, an acupuncturist, and a sound therapist. Where do you teach? Where are you located now?
So now, when I came from England, I came to this village here that's called Ovignana. This is the coast in a really dramatic area with massive cliffs and things. It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
So I just hired a little cottage here and I turned these tables into a yoga room and an acupuncture room.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing this for about 13 years now here. Before Zoom, I was just like having people come into my house and, you know, we just did it the old way. But nowadays I've got, I do the class on Zoom as well.
Mm-hmm.
So people come into my house and people join in through Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like every day. I have a group every day at 7 a.m. and another one at 9 a.m. every day.
Mm.
And then I do acupuncture sessions throughout the morning. And then I do dream work. And then I do coaching with the Tao. And, you know, I do all these things. I do sound for people as well. This kind of thing. Like people come to mind to my house and it's really nice. We have like a real little community here and it's beautiful.
Oh, it's awesome. And the photographs in this book really tell the story of the landscape from which you live and work. So I am just like thrilled. So let's get into this wonderful book, The Tao of Yoga. And my first question is, can you share with our listeners what the Tao Te Ching is, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, and how you have translated its ancient vision and wisdom into a guide for modern yogis. What was your process for that?
So first of all, the Tao, the Kami name, is not the eternal Tao, so it's quite a difficult thing to explain to people what the Tao is, but let's say that it is how things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So let's say that the Tao is what sustains everything. Also, let's say that the Tao is the great mother that gave us birth. And this is where we're going back to as well.
Yeah.
So for me, the Tao is a place where I feel incredibly secure and happy within myself.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, there was this thing of trying to bring this into my classes, this happiness, this joy, this trust in oneself, in others, and in life. That's what the Tao is for me. Joy, trust, this happiness, this security. And I started by teaching it in my classes. I just kind of like follow it. And then, you know, I've been reading a lot of different translations of it. And so it got to a point where I'd say, why not, you know, writing a Tao for yogis and yoginis? So I just went poem by poem. I call them, I know that they're called chapters, but for me, they fill me up like poetry when I read them.
Right.
I get the same feeling of awe I get when I read good poetry. So for me, chapter is a very disgraceful word. So I just took a lot of poems from different translators, and I was like seeing how the poem was coming up in a yogic way to me. So that's how it was. I don't know if it makes sense to you, but that's how I was writing.
Yeah, I mean, it really comes through because this is an ancient text, is it not, from China? Mm-hmm. And originally, was it a text that helped explain what life was, the causes, the yin and the yang,
mm-hmm.
life? And it kind of helped people understand, it kind of explained how the cycle of life works.
Mm-hmm.
You say that? I'm not sure if I'm interpreting it right.
Yeah, totally, totally. And I think that when you bring it to yoga and you're looking at the yin aspect and the yang aspect within yourself and within the practice,
mm-hmm.
you become a lot more conscious.
Yes.
It really gives you the place of the observer.
Right.
In a cautious way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which I find really exciting, this thing of really observing the practice one step behind, rather than just being on top of it, you know?
Yes.
So, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an incredible book, but it also delves into the recovery of energetic flow from stagnation. And mm-hmm. you talk a lot about that through the various poems that are interpreted. And I wanted to just get a sense of what are some practical insights or techniques does it offer the reader in seeking to revitalize their energy through yoga? How would you characterize that based on what you wrote?
I think that when you read the poem, there's a little, you know, that there is a little explanation or a commentary afterwards, right? So you have the poem that you can like read slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the commentary that finishes off with a question.
Mm-hmm.
And so this question is trying to amplify your understanding, and it's making you it's trying to take you into a reflective place so that your practice is not monotonous and so that you're not seeking a very clear objective.
Yeah.
So you go with what is, and you smell it, and you touch it, and you follow it through, and you allow it to get you to discover something about yourself that is new today.
Yes, and that's what I love about it. And I'm looking at you on page 34, and it says, "Can your mind participate in the oneness of all things and dissolve the illusion of separateness? Can your body let go of resistance and return to your original flexibility? Can your ego serve a higher purpose and live without judgment? Can you trust people and honor their winding paths without imposing your path on them?" I love this. "Can you allow your life to tell you the way? Can you de-identify from your own thinking and understand all people? Be ready and available for whatever life requires of you. Create freely and give care without an agenda. Become wiser and give up the illusion of control. This is called living according to your natural power." And then you have the commentary on 35, page 35.
Mm-hmm.
And within that, you write, tea flows within when you live your life unworldly, fearlessly, authentically, wholeheartedly, accepting your part in the cosmic dance. When you live without a care of what the future will bring and embrace your presence as the only possible now. Tea flows through you, and it makes you do precisely all those things you and others value so much without even trying. And then you ask the question, your natural power does not need help or pushing. Which are the barriers that impede its flow? Can you put them down? I just love that. I mean, it just makes you want to write, and your words across these pages are just impeccable. I mean, how long did it take you to write this book?
It took me a year, a bit less. I think I started this last December, I think it was. And yeah, took me, yeah, this last year, what I do, I get the car, or now I've got a van, put the dogs in, and I go up to the mountains, because here there is like really amazing, beautiful mountains. So, and I just like bring my computer with me, bring my books with me. We go for a long walk, and then I just sit down in the car in the van, and I just ride away. And I allow the place where I am in to inspire me and I just write what I see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just really curious to know what inspired you to undertake this task of interpreting and distilling the essence of the 81 poems for the modern practitioner. Was there a personal experience or observations in the yoga community that motivated you to share this ancient wisdom in a contemporary context?
Yeah, I see, it's my perception, that sometimes when I teach and other times when I'm invited to teach in other places, I see a lot of people fighting with their practice.
Yes.
And I see a lot of people feeling down by their achievements or what they think they should be achieving and they're not. And I see a lot of people forcing their bodies. And so when I see that, I feel it's really sad because everyone has a beautiful thing inside that is the reason why they're doing yoga for starts.
Right.
There's something really beautiful that takes them to practice, you see.
Yeah.
And so for me, there was this thing of like bringing that out forefront, you know. And so that people would stop fighting with themselves. People would stop forcing their bodies into attaining what they surely will attain, but maybe not today.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there is this idea that yoga practitioners should be doing difficult poses, asanas that takes years of practice to do, and everyone's body is different. And I say that to my students. I always say, this is non-performative. We're not about trying to outdo each other here. We are here for the practice. This is your practice. I'm just a vessel. I am not the guru here. I am just a vessel for facilitating learning and discovery, and helping you to come into your body. So that's what I saw. That's what I read through your book.
I'm so glad. Thank you.
You're welcome. And also your book addresses what I call the ego of the yoga industry stereotypes throughout the commentary and so forth. And I wanted to know what motivated you to shine a light on this aspect of our industry. And how do you believe acknowledging and understanding these stereotypes can benefit individuals in their own practice and life beyond the mat?
Oh, I think that people come, like new students nowadays, that everything is on the internet. Readily available, and you know, you can read a lot about yoga before you even had a go at Tadasana, you know. So I think that there is a lot of confusing messages about the practice in general, and one of the things that I find most difficult to do with new students is to get them to not force their bodies. There is this, I don't know where we got this, I guess it's as a society with a harder, faster, right? That's our society, more more, harder, faster, stronger. So this is all young values. And it's okay, but if you can't do that with grace, you will deplete yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Energy. So yoga is not something to deplete yourself of energy. It's something to give you so much energy that you can continue throughout the day, giving your energy out. It's like a source. It's like a fountain.
Yes.
That's how it should be. So I saw a lot of, going for it, like really strongly and having all these really far-fetched objectives. And a lot of people trying to cut themselves into a shape, they're probably not. And they don't need to be either. They're a lot more wonderful than all these things that, you know, that we used to sell.
Mm-hmm. I think also what I love about your book as well is that you reiterate this idea of non-judgment of yourself. And that is so important as a principle. You know, when I first started taking yoga years, many years ago, you know, I used to judge myself and compare myself to other practitioners. And I didn't realize or I didn't know that my body is different than what someone else's body is. So there's certain things, certain poses, certain asanas that are going to come easier for some people versus the other. We're all, our bodies are different. You know, we have the hypermobile and we have the more stiffer, you know, not flexible. Mm-hmm. But there's a place for all of us. Do you agree?
For me, there is the basics of how I teach. I'm one of those hypermobile ones. I'm stupidly flexible. But you know what? Even being extremely flexible, when you are in the wrong mindset, you judge yourself anyway, you know? And I was for many years in the wrong mindset, criticizing myself and God, nothing seemed to be satisfactory and enough, you know? That even the yoga practice was like, I thought I could do more and oh my God. So with the years and the Tao, and I've come to realize that it is what you do with grace.
Ooh, I love that, love that, love that. Grace is so important. One of the things that I noticed that you speak of is this principle of wu wei. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, wu wei. I love it.
Okay. Can you explain this concept and how it applies to the practice of yoga, particularly in creating a sense of presence, freedom, and joy?
I love wu wei. The way is doing what you can do and love doing. I think that is what the way is. It's been, you know, that it's been translated as non-forcing, action with no action.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I say to people, action with no action, and they just get stuck.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They think they shouldn't be doing anything then. If you say non-forcing, which is another beautiful way of saying it, a lot of people fall behind of what they can do. Mm-hmm. And I think there is a component of loving something that you're doing that comes with wu wei, which is allowing yourself to only do those things that you love, because this is what your nature is designed to do, the things that you love.
Right.
That is a good metronome or thermometer or, you know, an instrument of measure that tells you whether you're in the right track or you're not. How much you love it, how much it comes out of you with love and naturalness. And so then that is the right path. And in yoga, people forget to love their practice.
I just love what you just said, because it's so true. We forget to love it. So I really love this concept, and you weave it in throughout the book. So I just wanted to name that. So tell us about where we can find you, what's next. Can people here in the States take your classes? Do you have trainings? Tell us a little bit about what you do, and beyond what we talked about before, how available are you and how can my listeners find you?
Now, I've got a little website that is anna-morvez.com. You can reach me in there. Then I've got a little shop in Etsy that's called the greenwitchharvest.com.
Okay. I didn't find that. And I'll put these in the notes for them, so people can get them. So can people like myself, if I wanted to take an online class, could I register on your website?
It's best to write to me an email. Like if you go to the website, then you will find the email. I teach every day at 7 a.m. Spanish Madrid time. Mm-hmm. And then I teach at 9 a.m. And then I do a daily meditation class at 20 hours, 8 p.m. here, which will be your daytime. And we do this every day from Monday to Thursday, the meditation, and then the yoga is from Monday to Friday. And people that come to me come every day. So I don't do one-offs.
Okay.
Meditation could be that people turn up when they can, because it's asking too much of people to come every day to meditate. So meditation group is more open. The yoga groups, anybody can come because it's via Zoom, and they're bilingual classes because I've got people from different parts in Europe. So I do it both in Spanish and in English. Mm-hmm. And we have like a really beautiful community. They're amazing people. They're incredible. And so we work together 5 days a week. Majority of people turn up 5 days a week. And then there's people that can do 4 days a week or three, and that's allowed as well. What I don't do is one-offs because I have this grouping feeling going on. And also that I do Chinese philosophy in the classes as well. So when you're turning up for one class, it might be a bit uncomfortable because we might be talking about things that you don't know. So that's a problem. I do a lot of philosophy in class as well. I do the physical part. I do meditation. I do pranayama. And I do a bit of Chinese philosophy as well.
Nice. That sounds like a great class. And if my listener wants to purchase the book, would they go to your Etsy website or your website? Is it available on Amazon?
If they go to Etsy, it's cheaper than in Amazon.
Okay.
Way cheaper. So if they go to the website, which is thegreenwitchharvest.com, they can get it in there. I think it is 10 euros less than in Amazon or something, or six. I can't remember.
Okay. Because I purchased it on your Etsy website. Yes. So, and well, you have another book as well, a yin book. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah, I've got the book of yin. That was my first one. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I love it so much. I wrote the previous year. Again, it took me a year. And I kind of like, for me, was diving into the side of life that it is incredibly ignored as a society. And for me, it was a way of bringing its value up for everyone to discover and enjoy. So I just went to the forest, to the mountains, and to the sea, because I'm a free diver as well.
Yeah, I saw that. That's cool. Yeah.
So these are the three places where I went to be taught about yin. Okay. So the forest teaches you about yoga, the mountain teaches you about meditation, and the sea teaches you about pranayama.
Mm.
And so what happens in these three places is that you come to a really beautiful stop. These places have this power to stop you in awe of what you're seeing, to stop you in a way that you can admire decay, which is really yin. Yin is the winter, is decaying, is the darkness, but people are scared of it. And for me, it was a way of writing about the yin places in nature that we're certainly not scared of, so that we could like go to our yin without being scared of it, you know?
Yeah,
That was the whole idea behind the book. Mm.
Cool. I really like that. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for sharing this book to the world. And I am really thrilled with it. I use it in my classes as well.
Thank you so much.
And yeah, it's really, the questions really make my students think. You know, you have in the commentary, and we have gone through some of this, even though your book just came out. But I just want to say thank you again for your availability for joining us on Aligned Expressions.
And thanks so much for having
me. Oh, no worries. And I really want to stay in touch with you and see what you end up doing next.
Yeah.
Thank you again. And it's just been a pleasure.
Thanks so much. Thank you so much, Harry. Love you.